up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking at the county fair. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there. They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way. But I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's on my mind. Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. I ain't got a dime, but what I got is mine. I ain't rich, but Lord, I'm free. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's where I'll be. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's where I'll be.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
Somewhere in a distant land, so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky tonk music.
I'm a honky tonk man. And I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Do you want to lose your mind? Walk right in, sit right down. Baby, let your hair hang down.
And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Okay, welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is Wednesday. It's the 21st of June. Apparently, we need to get a... what did you say? Do what? Oh, first day of summer, Amy said. And I wouldn't have noticed because we've got fans running in here and I couldn't hear. It was like 400 degrees today. It was about 800 down in Phoenix, so we were fortunate that it wasn't that hot here. It was pretty tough, though. When it gets upper 90s here, you can bet that it is uninhabitable down in what we call down in the valley, Phoenix, Mesa, and down that area. Pretty bad. Anyway, we managed to get everything running correctly again, so we're doing all right. The only thing we're not able to do yet is we're still not able to get to take callers here with this new software. So I've just about given up working on it, and we'll have DeTinker produce the show for us next Wednesday when we'll have Doc on with us. And we're going to talk about some very old, very very different, obsolete 9mm cartridges and guns. Interesting stuff. There's history goes. That's one of the things I do in my classes when I talk to people about buying ammunition. I said, you know, most places when you buy ammunition, you can't bring it back. If you walk out the door with it, you cannot turn around and walk back in with it, or you can, but they're not going to give you your money back. So I said, be aware of what you're getting. I said, some calibers are a little bit confusing because there's generic names and there's, you know, people that are not entirely all together upstairs that can't figure out some of this stuff. So, and the 9mm is one that I use, and some of the cartridges that Doc and I are going to talk about next Wednesday, hopefully, are a couple of them that I use in that example. I tell people, if you walk in with your Beretta 92 or your Browning High Power or your, whatever, your Glock 17, whatever it may be, and it says 9mm on it, and you walk into the gun store and you ask, or worse yet, someplace like Walmart, one of the big box stores, and you ask for a box of 9mm. You have to make sure that they're giving you what you want. 9mm Parabellum, 9mm NATO, 9mm Luger, whatever. 9x19mm. Make sure it's one of those if that's what your gun is. The worst ones are the people that have, we had a guy come in one time in Farmington and bought a whole case of 9mm, except it was 9mm Makarov. He just saw it sitting on the floor, saw the 9mm, and just grabbed a case and happily paid the very reduced price from what he was used to paying and run out the door and put it in the trunk of his car and came back about 10 days later and said, hey, this won't work. This is not the right stuff. Well, I hate it, Spud. It's one of those things. It's one of the responsibilities that come along with gun ownership to make sure you buy the right damn ammunition. It's just part of the deal. So you've got the 9mm Makarov, the 9mm Tokarev, the 9mm Luger, 9mm Largo. I mean, there's like a dozen or more different names, different nomenclatures there of 9mm. Some of them are the same, some of them are not. You know, the 380 is actually a 9mm. It came out as the 9mm Kurtz, the 9mm Short, 9mm Corto, 9mm Browning Short, 9x18mm, 9x17mm. Those are all 380s. So make sure that you know what you're getting when you go in. 7mm in a rifle is just as bad. There's probably at least 15 7mm. 7mm Mauser, the 7mm, the Shooting Times Westerner, all the different magnums that there are. And, I'm sure there's 12 or 15 different 7mm. So be aware of what you're getting there. Let me check my channel. Now, who's Hard Times? We have a new or at least a new name. It may be an old regular. I don't know who Hard Times is, but welcome to the Shooting Bench at any rate, whoever you are. Let me see who else we got in here. Any more new names? NM Glock's with us tonight. Glad to have you there from representing New Mexico. We have Tebow, Radio Doc, representing New Mexico. Who do we have in here? There's Northwest Heavy from Washington. We have Minnie Minpin from Texas, Matty Buck from Colorado, Doc from Mississippi. Concrete and may or may not still be there. He's another Texas boy. Who else we got? Yakima Glock, another one from Washington. You'll never guess what town he's from either. I'll let y'all leave y'all to figure that out. So, let's... Amy just sent me... So, there's some really... really dumb things tonight. Maybe past dumb. I think past stupid. This was... this happened in Washington... actually. So you Washington guys may have already heard about this. Brand new story. Well, brand new yesterday. You know, we've talked about stories a time or two where someone was unhappy because they didn't get exactly what they ordered from McDonald's or somewhere. Well, here's a couple of kids here that were most displeased with Jack in the Box. I'm sure most of you are familiar with Jack in the Box. And it used to be a really good place to eat. I didn't eat there too often in the last few years. But anyway, it didn't used to be too bad. So, anyway, and Pumpkin Cat. Pumpkin Cat, I'm sorry, I don't remember where you're from. I saw you in the Judge in Georgia Radio Doc. We'll talk about that. I saw you in the deal there, and then I forgot where you're from. It's shame on me. Anyway, Amy's listening. She's sitting in there, Pumpkin Cat. I saw you holler at her, but she'll drop into the chat room and say hi. Okay, if you're not sitting down right now, you need to do that. Okay? Because this one and one other one really take the cake tonight. A couple of kids, well, three teenagers were arrested day before yesterday after they became totally enraged that their order was shorted in their estimation and pulled a gun on the workers in the drive-thru window there. This was in Pierce County, Washington. According to the Facebook post, the sheriff's office, Jack in the Box on South Hill, busy Monday afternoon, was a long wait in the drive-thru. The car in question got to the window. The teenagers copped an attitude. After she got her food, the 19-year-old woman who was driving said the workers forgot her drink and didn't give her enough nuggets. You know, I will kill you if you don't give me enough nuggets, is pretty much what she was going through here. Desert Rats just came in there. Welcome. She then said there was something in her drink and threw the cup through the window at an employee. So they closed the window and the two 14-year-old girl, 19-year-old got out and beating the windows and cussing at them. Finally they left. So long story short, there's some other things went on as they were trying to find them there. But while all this was going on, when the deputies found a 14-year-old girl and an 18-year-old man walking down the street in the neighborhood, the man took off running when the sergeant asked to talk to him. The girl was placed in the back seat of the police car after she admitted to being the Jack in the Box. Eventually, another deputy tackled the guy after he tried to jump over a fence and didn't make it. And the sergeant found a stolen 9mm handgun and according to the story, 14 hollow point bullets. Now, it's unclear whether there was any ammunition for the gun or not, but there was 14 hollow point bullets in his pocket. He was booked for unlawful or unlawful possession of a firearm, resisting arrest. The girl in the back seat tried to kick the window out, and she said, none of this would have happened if the people at Jack in the Box would have just given them the right food. She was booked into juvenile hall, I guess, for assault, possession of Xanax, and resisting and obstructing law enforcement. So there you have it. That's one that we have for tonight. We got a bunch of them. This one right here takes the cake. The other cake. We gave one cake away already. We got another one now. This is one of the ones, every once in a while, something makes me speechless. I don't know how, I can't wrap my mind around what's going on here. I just don't get it. This is happening in, it's in Illinois. So no big surprise there. Three people are suing Menards, which I assume is a lumber store of some kind, and Home Depot, which I'm pretty sure is a lumber store of some kind. They're suing them over descriptions of the lumber size. Now, I'm pretty sure that most of you know that when you buy a 2x4, it's really not. It's a 1.5x3.5. 2x4 is its nominal size. 1.5x2.5 is what it is after it's finished. 2x4, if you buy rough cut lumber, it's a 2x4. If you want it all polished up and pretty and smooth and straight and nice and all that, it's going to be a 1.5x3.5 because that's how much they take off to get it that way. 4x4s are 3.5x3.5. 1x6 is 3/4x5.5. 2x6 is 1.5x5.5. A 2x12 is 1.5x11.5. That's the way it is. They're all that way. Every board in there is that way. Well, they're suing them, saying that basically the false advertising type thing. Hey, hotshot. They're saying that they stand accused of deceiving the lumber buying public, specifically buyers of 4x4 boards. The alleged deception, the retailers market and sell the 4x4s without specifying that the boards actually measure 3.5x3.5 inches. Now, I noticed at Lowe's the other day, sometime earlier in the summer, I don't remember what it was. That I looked on one of the tags there for the lumber, and sure enough, it had the nominal size on it. And, you know, you buy it as a 4x4, and underneath there, it said finished size 3.5x3.5, or 1.5x3.5, whatever it was that I got. And I didn't think anything of it. I thought, okay, I mean, that's probably, you know, just being nice and putting it on there because there's a bunch of people out there that may not know. But I never thought that there'd be anybody that would actually sue for this, because if that was a 4x4, nothing else in the store would fit. You know, if you're going to get one of those little tin sockets on a concrete stump there and put a deck post in it, it's going to be 3.5x3.5. If you get any of the things that attach to this, you know, mailbox brackets, all this kind of stuff, They're made to fit a 3.5x3.5. Even though it says that you need to buy a 4x4, you're really not. And I think pretty much everybody in the world knows that, except these three retards from Illinois. I don't know why, and the lawyers that are defending this are just as freaking stupid as they are. That is the dumbest thing I've ever. There, you know, it's one thing to complain about it a little bit and say, hey, I didn't know. What's going on with this? Explain it to me. It's another to go hire a lawyer and say, I'm suing you because you're making
out of these boards, you know, you're cheating the public out of 23% of what they think they're getting. These lawyers, I don't know how they sleep at night. I don't know how they look in the mirror. I know some good lawyers. I really do. I know some that are honest. No, really, I do. I know some good lawyers. I know some good, honest, patriotic lawyers out there. Excellent people, gun owners, gun shooters, gun collectors. I'm betting you that these lawyers right here are not. They're none of the above. They are retards that went to school for a long time to learn how to be a retard. Defendants' representations as to the dimension of these products were false and misleading. And, of course, the Home Depot and the other outfit, Menards, saying that they're bogus and all that, yeah. And I would expect that they would. And the sad thing is that it's probably going to cost, you know, they're suing them. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Listen to this. Hey, listen. They're suing them for $5 million. Now, potentially, I think this is going to be a class action lawsuit. So everybody that's ever bought a four before is going to get 85 cents. Or whatever it turns out to be. One of the lawyers here says it's difficult to say that for a reasonable consumer, when they walk into a store and see a label that says 4x4, that's simply, quote-unquote, a trade name. Well, it's not a trade name. I mean, that was stupid in itself. anyway, that's... I'm real anxious to see how this turns out. The guy at Menards says, some Menards customers, they say, just flat not buying it. They said they haven't measured 4x4 inches by 4 inches since the 50s. He said that's when they started doing this nominal size thing. And this guy is a bulldozer operator, 60 years old, said, let me on the jury. They ain't winning. And they're going to pay me extra for my time. But an unscientific survey of 18 Menards shoppers found that about a third were unaware that 4x4 doesn't actually represent the dimensions of the piece of lumber. Okay, they're probably not. I have no doubt about that. I'll guarantee you that I can go into Lowe's tomorrow. I can go into Lowe's every day, 7 days a week, and talk to people, and I'll find one of them that doesn't know that. Do they care? No. Is it affecting their life? Is it costing them money? No, no, and no. So, America is so overdue for a complete reset. And I don't mind saying, and it doesn't necessarily bring me joy, but it doesn't break my heart either. A whole bunch of people like these right here, they ain't going to survive it. They ain't going to make it. Yeah, NM Glock's got a great idea. If you can find somebody retarded enough to do it, maybe we should sue the ammo makers. How about a 44 Magnum? There ain't nothing 44 about it. It's 429. 38 special. Where in the hell do you get 38 from? It's 357. 357 is 357, but a 38 is also a 357. What's a 22? 223. What's a 223? 224. What's a 308? 308. Oh. Well, that messes everything up. So I think I see a huge, huge class action lawsuit going here. We could go on for hours about the ammunition thing there, the bullet size. Oh, dear me. I think I'm going to get a headache here in a minute. I probably better go ahead and find me some Excedrin here or something right away. Now, it's funny, one more thing about this lawsuit here. It says the case names three plaintiffs, two against Menards, one against Home Depot. The Menards plaintiffs bought their lumber at stores in Gurnee and Fox Lake, Illinois. In November, the Home Depot plaintiff bought his lumber at a store in Palatine, Illinois in December. As they described it, all three men wanted the lumber for home improvement projects, got home, measured the pieces, felt they'd been deceived, and then turned to the law firm. They didn't even go down to the damn store and say, hey, what's the deal? I asked for a 4x4. I'm pretty sure that somebody would have either explained it to their satisfaction or given their money back. But no, they run right straight to the damn lawyer. Crybaby, sissy, snowflake idiots. Ask whether it was a coincidence that three different men found the same sort of issue with lumber, first at Menards and then Home Depot, and all three decided to go to the same law firm. He said, well, we can't comment. It's kind of like attorney client privilege in terms of how the clients were retained and the circumstances of our retainer of them. But he did say they did freely come to us. That hurts. I mean, that's just, I need duct tape. In Georgia yesterday, this is not gun related, I'm sorry about that, but it's timely, it's important. A judge intervened in a special election. A lot of people have been keeping up with this deal in Georgia. That the, who was it? Let me find the names here. One of them was Ossoff, O-S-S-O-F-F, or Ossoff, or something like that. And the other one, who was on our side, you know, at least somewhat, was, what the heck? I don't remember her name. I think it was her. Anyway. This is a heavily Democratic area, and this judge intervened in this election and ruled, ruled that this county, it was in DeKalb County, Georgia. It's right down by Atlanta. As a matter of fact, I think part of Atlanta is in DeKalb County. Ruled that they keep their polls open for an additional 30 minutes. Have you ever heard of polls staying open another 30 minutes? If you haven't got your votes in, if you're not in there by 7:30, you know, or whatever time it is, you know, 7 o'clock, I think, usually. And it was, you know, it's too bad. You don't get another chance. But they ruled that this polls stay open an additional 30 minutes, and this wasn't even the first. Of course, they lost anyway. This is like all the cheating that the Democrats did when Trump ran. They lost anyway. There's a message here. I don't know if they're getting it yet, but there's a message here. But apparently they did it during the general election as well. So Handel. Yeah, oh, yeah, Minnie just put that on there. Handel was the other person that was on our side, or more so than the other one anyway. So, there you have it. That's what's going on. That's how things are deteriorating pretty rapidly here. All right, I think what we're going to do here is take a little break.
I'll be back.
I hear people say we don't need this war, but I say there's some things worth fighting for. What about our freedom and this piece of ground? We didn't get to keep them by backing down. They say we don't realize the mess we're getting in. Before you start your preaching, let me ask you this, my friend. Have you forgotten how it felt that day to see your homeland under fire and her people blown away? Have you forgotten when those towers fell? We had neighbors still inside going through a living hell.
Untamed earth and said, I need someone who will never be broken. And so his greatest work began. First he filled their belly full of guts and their hearts full of try. Then he called them a cowboy. He needed someone who could handle a horse, teach them, tame them, but never break them. Someone whose soul needed the saddle and would not change with the world around them. So God made a cowboy. He needed someone who could find a hot bull in a 100-section pasture, ride a bronc, hold a family together, read a brand, let wrongdoings go, and pull a tight cinch. God needed someone who didn't mind dusty cow pens, smoking branding irons, long days, and cold nights. So God made a cowboy. It had to be someone who could make a living with their rope, cow dog, and a few good horses. Someone who would never know a 40-hour week nor care to. He needed to create a proud man, one who would take a stand and whose greatest compliment would be to have his kids called handy. So God made a cowboy. But after he created the cowboy, he was far from done. While his creation was tough and untamed, they need more than just a good horse to share their name. And no ordinary woman would understand the cowboy. God needed to create a woman who didn't want store-bought roses by the dozen, but rather wild flowers, seldom picked, and sweet cowboy loving. He needed someone who could take a good custom in the working pens, love unconditionally, and forgive. Someone who could open her own doors, sweep tack room floors, look past muddy boots into kitchen floors, make a home, hold her own, and have an eye for a good horse. Someone who didn't need lavish and flattery, but would find joy in a spring-born colt. Someone who could raise babies, fix fence, patch jeans, and never waver in the hard times of a cowboy life. So God made a cowboy's wife. And when God fashioned the cowboy and his wife, he made them in his exact image and likeness, and blessed them for all their earthly life.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. Ow! Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey! Another one bites the dust. Hey!
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Stand by 1 second. I got to put this right up here. All right, good enough. Okay, let's move on. Several things we need to talk about here. And, sorry about that, one of them is the heat. And Amy and I, we were talking to a guy the other day that was talking about what he believed to be the highest temperatures ever recorded were in the deserts of Australia, and that's not so. The highest recorded temperature for many, many years was in Libya. And as of 13 December 2012, the World Meteorological Organization has said that that is not so. It was 58 degrees centigrade or Celsius. And I'm not sure what that is in Fahrenheit. It's around 140, 138, 139, something like that. Well, they decided that that was not recorded properly, that it wasn't, you know, over its native soil and sand and all that, and there was asphalt or concrete and stuff involved. So they have thrown it out. And the record now stands at what was number two in Death Valley at 134 degrees, 56.7 centigrade. That was on in July of 1913 at Greenland Ranch in Death Valley, California. But as a result of this investigation that they did, it said that the Libya temperature could be off as much as 7 degrees. So it would have fallen under it as, I guess, they figure it's okay for it to be number 2 now. Dogs barking. I may have to go outside and kill something. You know what? That sounds like a pretty serious bark. I got to, sorry about that, but I got to put this on here. Hang on a second.
Ain't no good for jealous. after nine. You're in someone else's arms in Dallas. Does Fort Worth ever cross your mind? Darling, while you're busy burning bridges, for me, if you get tired, 'cause good memories don't fade so easy. And us Fort Worth elders cross your mind. You left me here to be with you.
Sorry about that disruption there. We had when the dogs go that crazy, generally there's something out there, and I'm sure that there was because the goats were up and looking and everything, but apparently they got away before we got out there and looked. Of course, that happened one night a year ago, and we had a bear out there. So, anyway, I didn't want to disrupt George there before he got his song finished, so we're back. One more deal here, and then we're going to talk about something else. In Albuquerque, you know, here, what was it, about, probably 4 months ago or something, 3 or 4 months ago, we talked about this group of people who had gotten together and in this big neighborhood, and they've created this organization of sorts where a glorified watch group is what it is, and they've done very well at getting crime down and everything in their areas. And what is going on here? Oh, great. Well, that's just dandy. I hope the Tinker's recording this show, because this one is not recording. For some reason, this didn't work. Let's see. I don't know what's going on here. Let's see. Are you guys still getting sound there? I know you heard me when I went outside. So hopefully it's still working. I'll have to see if it recorded. If not, we'll have to see if the Tinker is... actually, he's probably not recording tonight because he had that procedure today, so... Anyway, we'll see. We'll worry about that when we get done here. that's right, Doc. Yeah, NSA is recording it. Yeah, we'll just ask them. They'll probably be glad to give it up. But anyway, what we're seeing around the country here, there's a number of of communities and neighborhoods out there that are getting together and taking care of themselves. And they're doing this through teamwork, of course, and communications. They're contacting people, and the people are responding. Well, this happened in Albuquerque. A guy was caught red-handed. He ended up in what you might call a sticky situation, as the story says. And the homeowner found him in his house. He was caught on camera breaking into the home and making himself at home. And in the security video, the guy is seen walking in there and on a Sunday afternoon, putting on a jacket, wandering around, turning on the television. At one point, he gets a beer out of the fridge, sits down, and decides to watch TV in this house that wasn't his. So the homeowner got an alert on his phone through his security system. He watched the guy on the phone and called his neighbor. The neighbor, a woman, lives across the street from the homeowner, didn't hesitate to help. She said, "I went to my garage, my husband and I. We got two pistols. We met him at the cul-de-sac. He blocked them." That was the homeowner that he met, they met. "He blocked off the entry of the cul-de-sac to make sure that if he did have a vehicle, the man entering the home wouldn't be able to escape. As he pulled in, I passed him his .45, and then I got the other Ruger." Now, these guys got it together. I'm telling you. Had guns ready, and here you go. Here, you pull in, jump out of the car, they hand you a gun. Okay, I'm on it. That's when the woman, her husband, and the homeowner confronted this guy. The two went into the home with loaded weapons, the man and wife. And the man announced himself to the bad guy and said, "I have a loaded weapon, get down on your hands and knees." At that, no, that was the woman that said that. And, no, it was a man said, and the woman come up behind him, got the individual down on the knees, got him to lay down, and at that point, they made sure he had no way of escaping. Got his arms and feet duct taped. When they picked him up, carried him out in the front yard and waited for the police to show up. Police showed up. They found him on the ground, his hands and ankles taped. Police told us at the home prior that he had broken into, he was wearing the same clothes he had stolen from that home when he broke into this guy's house. Well, this time he tried to talk his way out of it. He said, he really said this. He said, "I'm not trying to steal anything. I just want to be friends." So for those of you out there that are feeling like, you know, amicable, whatever, wanting to make friends, let me offer you just a wee bit of advice. Breaking into someone's home, wearing their clothes, watching their TV while drinking their beer, it's not the way to do it. That's not how you make friends. Okay? All right, you got that? If you want to make friends, you know, go to the barbershop. That's a great place. Go to the shopping center. Go to Walmart. Go to a grocery store somewhere. Laundromat. Laundromat's a great place to make friends. All right. Well, I'm gonna finish up these last few minutes with something that I should have talked to you about earlier. There is, as a matter of fact, I may have. I don't remember. You know, everything that I do on this show, I just pull out of thin air and throw it together, and then my memory is not the greatest in the world sometimes, so I don't always remember. But I'm going to tell you, anyway, if you've heard this one, stop me. There's, you know, we all talked about the show Jericho, remember that? We talked about that quite a bit, actually, and how that there was some good information in there for training and, you know, food for thought if something were to happen. And some of it was relatively realistic, I think it, or had the potential of being. And it made for a good conversation and good things to think about. Well, there's another one that some of you may have already seen. It's called Revolution. And I believe it was made for TV to start with. And there was two seasons. And folks, I'm going to tell you what. That show, I think, is probably one of the best fiction shows out there that you could watch concerning a major EMP, societal breakdown, and the reset of America. And during this show, the reset hadn't happened yet, but it is, and it may be just my active imagination, but this show is almost absolutely identical to the way that I feel things are going to happen. We had so much so that if you look at some of the things that I have written over the years and compare it to this show, you'd think that I had something to do with writing the show, or that those people had something to do with me writing my things or whatever. Of course, it's Hollywood, and there's things in there that don't quite stack up, a little bit sensational in areas, but I'm not saying the whole thing was written as a documentary or a biography or something of one of the heroes there. I'm just saying that I think that it is extremely realistic. It's after the power goes out. Now, the reason the power went out and all that, that's all part of the show. It wasn't actually an EMP. In a manner of speaking, it was, but not really. So, but at any rate, the power was out and it stayed out. And at this point in the show where we're at right now, we watched over half of what there is. There's quite a few in these two seasons. There's quite a few episodes. We're about 15 years or so, 15, 16 years after the power goes out. And a lot of the stuff is pretty realistic. Of course, you have to wonder, where did they get all these new clothes, and how do they keep resupplying with stuff like that? And Doc, I'm not so sure about that. Doc says, he says the biggest problem was after 15 years, no one would have any center fire ammunition left. I don't necessarily believe that. If everyone shot up only what they had, then yeah, probably so. But after 15 years, there's going to be, I mean, I'm sure there wasn't absolutely, completely constant fighting all that time. So I believe that there probably still could be some left. Now, in a lot of places, there wasn't. You know, a lot of these guys had guns and very limited amounts of ammunition in the show. But the other thing is, after 15 years, I am absolutely confident that some enterprising individuals out there would have gotten their reloaders fired up and could have had a little bit of resupply. Now, it wouldn't be like going down to J&G sales and buying 5,000 rounds at a time, but I'm sure you could go get 50 or 100 here and there, and the government's got plenty, so I'm sure that I would imagine that there'll be stockpiles, small stockpiles in this world, in this country especially, after every human being is long since gone from this planet. I'll bet there'll still be some ammunition here and there that never was found. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And that could be. Doc may be right. I just don't agree with it right now. But there were several things that, you know, after 15 years that probably doesn't add up. But if you look at the way things were during the time period of the show, how they conducted themselves, the things that they had for light and the things that they did for, just everyday living and whatnot, it was pretty interesting. I think there was a lot of things in there. No, it's not a training film. It's not something, I just think it's pretty realistic the way that they put it together. Quite obviously, when they got to the part where they run the power long enough that they were able to get the helicopters running and say, yeah, I know, I get it, I understand. But a lot of the other stuff, I think. But what it does is, like Jericho, is that it very much gets you to thinking. Very much. A lot of issues, you know, did I put enough of that back? Or that's something I didn't think about putting back or saving here. Or, you know, we could have saved some of this and avoided that situation. What are we doing for communications and blah, blah, blah. So I think it's worth watching. It's entertaining. It's a fun show. As a matter of fact, Amy and I are going to watch an episode as soon as we get done with the show here tonight. But it looks like from what Doc says, I did mention it before, so I'll try to make a note here and not mention it again. But if you have the time and you're so inclined, I think it might be something good to watch, and if nothing else, just for the entertainment value of it. So. All right. Well, I think we've had about as much fun as the law allows here tonight, so I'm going to get on out of here. Excuse me. Remember, we've got a new classroom going here. Now, there's been some question here. Is this replacing our other classroom? Absolutely not. This is a smaller classroom. It'll be great for CCW classes and stuff there in town. We still have a much larger one out here out east of Sholo a ways, where we can do very nice, good-sized classes. So, also, if you feel the need to, feel the desire, the burn to donate to the Shooting Bench, you can just use the Shooting Bench at live.com on PayPal and go in there and help keep things running. Okay, with all that being said, I think that I'm going to dash on out of here, and with all goes well, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, and everything keeps running good, well, we'll be back Friday night with Liberty Lounge.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.